So, what do antibiotics, detergent, and bologna have in common beyond the fact that they've all been in my kitchen? Well, they all frequently include corn as an ingredient. Same for adhesives, insecticides, sodas, seasonings, and salad dressings. Corn, 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 and more corn. With massive flooding in the Midwest threatening much of this year's newly planted corn crop, the price of corn has hit record highs in recent days. Right now it's $7.32 for July delivery and more than that for December. That means America's favorite mixer is suddenly in short supply. Joining me now to tell us more about the impact of rising corn prices is Jack Scoville, Vice President Grain Analyst with the Price Futures Group in Chicago. Hey, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
How bad was the flooding? It looked terrible on TV. What about historically?
Well, historically, it's been compared to the floods of 1993, which were the worst that I know about. Certainly, in many parts of eastern Iowa, in fact, some of the areas, I think Cedar Rapids, for example, was hit far worse than in 1993. But in terms of overall damage, it's being compared to that year, which was, as I say, the worst that we knew about.
When did you first get the idea that something could really affect the price of corn? I know you monitor weather all the time. Did you know it before the rains even started coming? Did you know it after the levees broke? When did you first know that corn was going to go through the roof?
Well, we've had problems planting corn in certain parts of the Midwest most of the spring. We like to get our corn planted in April and May, and we had a pretty wet spring around here and also a very chilly spring, so we were already having problems. And then a few weeks ago when these big storms started, that it just exacerbated the problem, and here we are today. In the last week, the prices have rallied to about a dollar just based on all the flooding. So we did see some effect on prices throughout the spring, but then a big run up here in the last week when the flooding became very, very apparent.
I was looking at historic corn prices, and I know it is heavily subsidized, and I guess part of that is they try to keep the prices consistent. But it really give us some idea, because the prices compared to history have really gone really high, maybe higher than you ever thought they could go. I don't know.
Well, you knew once we've actually reduced and changed the subsidy program for the farmer and made the market much more responsible for taking care of the cost structure. We used to subsidize much more heavily than we do now. But just to give you an example, in 2002, way back even through say 2006, we were trading in the $2 to $3 range, and the highest we'd ever traded before that was $5.50, and here we are. Yesterday we traded as high as $7.50 during the day before we moved, or this overnight before we settled back down here a little bit. So prices are historically incredibly high. I don't know if anybody could have predicted this type of rally, or these types of price levels. But we did know that with the changes that we've seen in the economy, that higher prices were coming. Exactly what level, that's anybody's guess at the end of the day.
Who gets hit worst? Is it big business like Conagra or small individual corn farmers?
Well, just about everybody has to share in the pain and in the gain. I mean, the processing costs for somebody like Conagra go up. Everybody, it's all kind of interrelated. The costs of producing corn have gone up pretty sharply. Fertilizers are often petroleum-based, and just, running the tractors and making the deliveries and doing that kind of work requires a good amount of diesel fuel. So the costs of producing and the seed costs have gone up as well. So the costs of producing a crop have gone up, but they're being, but the prices that being paid have also gone up, so that part's pretty much okay. Who's really getting hit these days are the people that use the corn, particularly the feeders. Even the ethanol industry, which is subsidized, is really being hurt with the prices the way they are. It's very hard for them to buy corn. And with this type of loss, just about everybody gets hurt. There's really no way that anybody in the chain is going to escape at least feeling at least a little bit.
When you say feeders, you mean the cattlemen are getting hurt. That's what they feed the cows.
Hog producers, yeah. Poultry producers, they're getting hurt. But just about, when you have a problem like this, it just about everybody has a problem.
Since you've been doing this, and you can tell us how long that's been, has there been a move to feeding more livestock corn than ever before?
Well, the livestock demand has been going up consistently and over the last few years has really increased as we've been able to export a lot more beef and pork overseas, and poultry for that matter. And as the poultry side has grown, that's increased particularly soybean meal consumption, but also corn consumption. So, yes, corn demand has steadily increased from just about all sectors of the economy, and we use corn in a lot of different ways. I've been in this business. I started down on the floor as a runner in 1981, so I've been around this building a long time.
And it's just, what's the feeling like? People looking at each other saying, we never thought it would get to this?
Well, I think we're all kind of amazed. On a daily basis, you're kind of trying to deal with the volatility because when you have high prices, you have high volatility. It just goes to reason. You know, 5% of a 5% move at $2 is something considerably smaller than a 5% move at $7. So you have to deal with that. You have to deal with that volatility on a daily basis. But I think. As I say, you could kind of see with the economic changes that we made over the years, over the last 10 or 15 years or so, that something like this could very easily happen. But I think even now that it's here, yeah, I'm amazed. I mean, it's just been an incredible experience to live through when you're directly involved in the markets that have been down for quite so long, and then to have this happen it's just really incredible.
A lot of consumer goods are going to be affected, the prices. What about cola? You think Coca-Cola is going to get more expensive because they use corn syrup?
They sure do, and I think it's an issue with them. You know, one of the reasons that you switched from to corn syrup out of sugar was sugar has traditionally been a very high-priced and protected commodity here in the United States. So corn syrup being that much cheaper to produce makes your cost of manufacturing that much less. So to the extent that corn syrup is a cost item for Coca-Cola or anybody else, Pepsi, whoever. Yes, I think you can see some upside pressure on prices, but I think you are anyway. Corn is also used in starch. It's used in just an incredible array of goods. And, you know, that combined with other price pressures that we're feeling, generally through the economy, will certainly do nothing to keep the prices down.
And I would think that if anyone benefits, it would be anyone who's growing corn in a place that wasn't flooded, like in Michigan. They have got to be, you know, rolling in it right now.
Well, one would hope so, unless they sold already.
Right.
If you sold already, then you fixed your price. But anybody that hasn't sold corn that stands to get a good crop has got to be feeling pretty good right now.
Jack Scoville, Vice President and Grain Analyst with the Price Futures Group in Chicago. Next time we have you on, you're going to tell me how to get that job, okay, Jack?
Okay, sounds good.
Grain Analyst. So what were your thoughts as a young grain? Do you blame your mother? Next on the show, John McCain, what is up with your campaign? We've heard some people say it's a mess. We've also heard it's doing okay. A lot of rumors. We're going to put him to bed with a political expert from Politico. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.